Blog Talk Radio.
Why must we feel our futures so uncertain? Why must we feel our presence is a burden? Living day to day of crumbs from the table, this dependency must end. I know that we are able to build a life.
guys. Welcome back. Earn Your Leisure. We still in L.A.
L.A. edition.
L.A. Cali edition, for sure. So first and foremost, shout out to Dame Dash
man.
And the good people at Dash Studios, Dame Dash Studios, for they rolled out the red carpet for us, and this is our home.
This is real hospitality.
Yeah, yeah, for
Shout out to Nicolette. Shout out to Effie for holding us down. Shout out to Dame again.
For sure. That's a fact. So this is going to be an exciting episode if you follow us on social media. You know, a lot of times we get requests for different people and variety of different walks of life and different, you know, paths and different businesses. But one gentleman, especially recently, who's been just getting a lot of traction online, I actually saw a lot of his videos, is 19 Keys. So 19 Keys, social activist, entrepreneur, social media influencer, health advocate.
Thought leader. I like that.
Among other things, if you follow him on Instagram. So he's a very interesting guy. He's very intelligent, and he has a variety of different videos. Like, he has stuff from health. He has, sometimes he's working out. Sometimes he's like leading like a platoon. Like, that video went viral. That was dope. I think Snoop reposted it. LeBron reposted it. That was a dope video. Sometimes he's teaching about finances. He has a whole program about finances, stock investing, cryptocurrency, whole gambit.
I like the joints with your pops too.
Thank you.
Those are always good, man.
Yeah.
People request a lot more. I just bought him a phone so he can go live.
Oh, man. Your video's a classic. Because I'm like, you're listening and reliving what he's saying. Yeah. And then sometimes you just like start laughing because you're like, yo, this is, I really lived that.
Yeah.
So without further ado, 19 Keys. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, man. Welcome.
I told you I feel like I done made it now. Nothing else matters. We're here at this moment.
Yeah, that's
dope.
So let's get into it. 19 Keys. I don't even know where we should start, but I want to start with the Black Wealth Standard.
Yes, sir.
Because that's something that I've been seeing a lot as far as you posting it a lot recently. And the Black Wealth Standard, like when you first posted that, I'm like, what does that mean? You know what I'm saying? It's like one of those things that's interesting. And it's like, I think I know what it means, but I want you to kind of give like the breakdown. Like, what's the Black Wealth Standard?
So it's two parts to that. We had a Black Standard and then we had a Wealth Standard. And so inside the Black Standard is the Wealth Standard. And so the Black Standard is really creating a system of accountability for what it means to be Black. You understand me? Like, I believe that not everybody is Black in the mind. You understand me? And by Black, we have to create this system of accountability. Otherwise, we can't have any expectation of each other. You understand me? Like, if I consider myself to be a Black man, what values do I uphold? What's my mission? What's my vision? You understand me? What does it mean to a Black person? Responsibility, accountability, transparency. You can be a nigga, right? And a nigga has a certain connotation. And there's no expectation for what a nigga is. A person can make music and say, I kill niggas, I murder niggas, I rob niggas, whatever it is. There's no accountability. So it's like, if you think in hip-hop, where is the standard for hip-hop to say who can and cannot be a part of hip-hop? There is none.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think about our communities and I think about people being disappointed by so-called leaders or celebrities or activists and things of that nature, you really can't hold them to a fault because we haven't created a standard of accountability to say that, well, if you consider yourself to be a Black man, then this is what you stand on. So one of the standards that we created was you have to train. If we look at everything that's been happening in the light of the circumstances that we're living in right now, the Black Lives Matter movement, the white supremacy, things of that nature going on, it's like, how do you prepare yourself? And we can't just continue to complain. Somebody got to be out there training. Somebody got to be out there ready. If you say that, okay, well, we believe in gun ownership, well, you should have tactical training. If you don't believe in guns and you believe, okay, I'm going to protect myself, well, you should have combat training. You understand me? Hand in hand. If now when we go to the Wealth Standard, we talk about Black Wall Street, you understand me, and what happened back then, but they had a particular wealth standard, meaning that the money exchanged 30 times before it left their community.
Mm.
You understand me? Like, they had a certain financial literacy that doesn't exist in our community. So when we talk about the Black Standard, it's really creating a system of accountability for those who consider themselves to be Black. And I always qualify Black not in the sense of nationality, the sense in your mindset. You understand me? Like, are you connected to that original spark of what it means to be a Black person on the planet Earth? You understand me? Original man and that original thinking. And inside that, we know that I believe in ownership of slaveship so that, all right, I believe in equity versus equality, because if we get equity, we confront our equality.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I know you all believe in that because I've seen certain things that you post, and it makes sense that if we get equality, then everybody get what we got and it's still unequal.
Yeah, yeah. I've been fighting for that, especially in education. It's like people need to understand the difference.
Exactly.
I think people have always said equal rights, equal rights. I'm like, yo, we need to change our three E's. I always say that. Like, it's equality's cool. Equity's more important. Economic empowerment is even more important.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
But other communities have a wealth standard. The Jewish community represent 2% of the population, but the top 100 Forbes billionaires, 25%. Jewish community. When we look at that Asian community, who has the top household income? It's not white folks, even though we always compare that, but it's the Asian community, and more specifically, it's the East Indian in the Asian community. And who's top leverage when it comes to looking at the tech sector? You understand me? They're the top paid. And you can understand that because they basically look at, all right, what's going on in the community? What's going on in the world? Right, so if Bill Gates and Elon Musk and all of these people are becoming the new billionaires and the new ruling power, then they said, well, shit, that's what we need to get into. Let's do Huawei. You understand me? And they get into digital technology and they get into coding and things of that nature. So when you look at Shenzhen, China, in the last 5 to 10 years, they've been able to build up a system to go from rice farmers, you understand me, to tech billionaires and millionaires because they said that, oh, well, this is going to be our way towards wealth. Now, in the black community, we still think entertainment and sports is our wealth standard.
That's a fact. Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
We've been saying that from day one.
That's a fact.
Yeah. And every other community puts more emphasis on education than we do, but the right kind of education. You understand me? Like, we don't have a specific type of education that we go for. And so when we think about having a wealth standard, you can really study other communities who've done it better than us because all communities have done it better than us.
Yeah.
You understand me? Even the Hispanic community, their income is higher than ours and continues to rise higher than ours. They're more likely to own a house than we are once we leave a household. You understand me? And so creating a wealth standard is really creating a system of accountability that you can think towards going towards that goal of wealth. Like wealth is having an abundance of assets. And the average person, the average black person specifically, because if 50% of America is – financially illiterate, then that number is extremely high in the black community.
Yeah, that's important. So, mindset is the key, and I've heard you say this numerous times, right? If you could change the way somebody's thinking, you can change their world.
Absolutely.
So when did your mindset get changed, or was this something that was always in your household as you were coming up?
Absolutely not. So there's levels to that question, right? So the wealth standard was never in my household.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were taught, you know, economic empowerment and the teachings on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who taught about those different things, but the knowledge, the how-to, the applicable knowledge on how to get there, portfolio diversification and understanding commodities and stocks and things of that nature, and that was not in my household.
Mm-hmm.
But the do-for-self mentality was always there. So when I was about 19 years old was when I think I really made a shift to wanting to go upon this journey and teaching others. And that's because I had a case when I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? I think before the age of 19, I probably been arrested about 10 times, had about 5 to 6 cases, but I always fought them off. And that's because I seen my father fight his cases. So having that example, I knew what was possible and I knew what I needed to do. And so really, in that last case, I was going through it and I was locked up in a jail and I was reading this book. And the book was a fictional book. I don't remember what it was, but it was a storybook. It was very detailed. I could imagine and picture. It was like a movie in my head. And then as I was done reading that book and I got through the whole thing and I looked around, and I'm still in the cell. And nothing in that book qualified me to get past this case and empowered me in any situation whatsoever. So I felt like I just wasted all my time.
Mm.
And then when I got to trial, my older brother had gave me a list of books to read. Art of Deception, some Sun Tzu War books, a bunch of different books on legalese, and he wanted to give me books that we could actually apply when it came towards trial. You understand me? Books that were applicable knowledge. And I remember learning certain things and having to tell my lawyer certain things to get certain parts of the case thrown out. And eventually, of course, we got to that point where the case was found not guilty. You understand me? I ain't got no record.
For the record.
Yeah, for the record. But after that, I haven't read a fictional book. You understand me? I only read information for the purpose of applying it in some way in my life. You know, and I know that, you know, you can read stories and it expands the minds and things of that nature, but that's just where I'm at. And after that, I only wanted to find that sort of information because 80% of people don't take it to trial. You understand me? They plea out. And that's either ignorance, a lack of money, representation, a multitude of different things. But I just think about those individuals that I grew up with in the hood. When they jumped off that porch, they get caught in that system, and then they get stuck in that cycle because they ain't had nobody to get them some keys, somebody to get them some books that can guide them to the right mindset where they can free themselves. So ever since I was 19 years old, I've just been on this journey of, damn, how do I unlock the next man whose mind is without the proper knowledge and information to where they can be that higher self.
So it's interesting because I think it was actually with Dame, right? We spoke about where it was like, you can't just tell somebody to stop hustling without giving them a
if you don't got no answer. He said, don't talk to me about the problems being got no answer.
Yeah, yeah. You got to, you can't like say, okay, I'm out here, I'm making $1,000 a day. You telling me to stop doing what I'm doing, but you're not giving me any solution.
Right.
So as far as like practical like solutions, as far as like building wealth in the community, because like you brought up a good point, sports entertainment, that's our wealth standard because that's what we know.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like every neighborhood has at least one NBA player or one NFL player or one rapper.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an aspiring person that you can look at and say, okay, he made it doing this, so I know I have a chance. At least I have a shot doing this, right?
It's the mirror effect.
Yeah, so it's like how do we get into, you know, building that practical? Is it through trades? Is it through entrepreneurship as far as brick-and-mortar locations? Is it through online? Is it variety? Is it investing? Like what is – what's some of the ways that we can actually encourage people to kind of get them on the wealth path?
Well, I believe in skill set diversification. You understand me? That you don't just have one thing. Because as we've seen through the COVID-19 and the quarantine, if one fail and, you know, circumstances beyond your control happens, what you going to do? So many people had to pivot during this time, and they didn't know what their second stop was. You understand me? So, number one, I look at the education system, and I look at everybody else's wealth standards. And we can look at the Asian community specifically because let's ask ourselves, how many Asian leaders can you think of in the last 100 years in America? How many Asian leaders you can think of that just prominent voices that speak for the Asian community? Can't really think of any.
Mm-mm.
Now, we've been spoiled with leadership in our community, so we always looking for somebody to lead us. You understand me? Instead, their leadership is their education. You understand me? Their leadership is their family standard on how they build together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, number one, you have to destroy that dependency model of I'm looking for somebody to save me.
Yeah.
You know, and now you have to create a new savior, which is the education, which is getting into the digital real estate, as my brother Ben X calls it, and looking like, oh, yes, entrepreneurship 100%. And people always say, well, entrepreneurship not for me. That's not true. You understand me? Like, thinking like an entrepreneur is for everybody. We live in a capitalist society. So if you're not thinking like an entrepreneur, then you're somebody's consumer. You understand me? So that's a slave-based mindset because either you figure out a way to free yourself into the ultimate role of the sovereignty or you're just a dead slave. So number one, entrepreneurship, the mindset towards education has to shift. The education has created an opportunity because everything that they didn't teach, now we can teach. You understand me? So we really have to thank them. They didn't teach real estate. You understand me? They didn't teach entrepreneurship the way we utilize it today. They didn't teach stocks and trading and things of that nature to where we can easily apply it. So now, guess what? We get to teach all the things that we know.
Yep.
It creates an income for us. So when I look at the fact that it's more expensive to house a prisoner than it is to go to Harvard, and Harvard with all this great endowments is not about to change. You understand me? It's price to go there. It's tuition whatsoever. They don't care about that. So I say, well, shit, digital education is the new Harvard. You understand me? Right now, you can go spend the next 2 to 3 weeks learning coding. You understand me? And increase your income just by having a new skill set. You can go in the next 3 to 5 weeks learning trading. You understand me? And now you have a new way to bring in income. So when we look at the unemployment rate, it doesn't have to affect you if you have skill sets that employ you. You understand me? And so you start with learning skills, first of all, skills that you can trade for income, increasing your human capital and your value on the marketplace. So if we start there and saying that, okay, number one, I also believe in a family model. Don't do business without family. That's my motto. You understand me? Now, I know for most of us that's crazy, right? Because We was taught don't do business with family. But
they're crazy.
That's only true for a dysfunctional family. And
which
living,
is a lot of
people. It is. So instead of living based off the filter that, yes, our family is dysfunctional, so that applies to us, let's work towards, well, how do we create functional families? Mm. You understand me? And so the repairment of the family model in the black community has to happen before we get to any wealth. Otherwise, there's only one generation. There's no multi-generational wealth.
Mm.
So the family standard has to happen in understanding that, you know, they call it the 64 hitting year history in America between 1619 and 1555, where that was supposed to be the making of the slave. And that making of the slave was destroying that aspects of family unit. You understand me? So that you can rob them of their name, you can rob them of their culture, their masculinity, their femininity, everything that brings them together as a family unit. And once they did that in 1619, they was ready to open up business. Now, we know that everything in America goes back to the black body, the branding, the marketing, the insurance, the whole gambit. So when we look at repairing the black family, it's the one thing that starts us towards wealth. You can't get past it. I don't care how successful I am, you understand me, unless I got a young little 19 keys out there running around that knows what I know as well, not just having a child. He got to know what I know when it comes to the money market.
Mm-hmm.
He got to know what I know when it comes to being a man and taking care of his family. You understand me? And then passing that knowledge down, because wealth is not just about the attainment of physical assets and things of that nature. It's the mindset. It's the knowledge that we have. So if we pass down the right knowledge and we was groomed in a household with that sort of information, then, yes, we already have the wealth. You understand me? Right. Reparations is repairment. And that repairment comes from knowledge itself and understanding the world around you. We live in a very capitalist society that's ran by white families. And families run the world, not governments, and special yes. interest groups and corporations. So I believe that every black family should have an LLC.
Fuck. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And to my co-host, partner in time, Famila Mahasin Bilali and Shuaib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. You're muted.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. All right. How's your day going?
Oh, good. Had a lot of little adjustments to do. Monday is slowly shifting into my coaching days, off days, planning out the week days. So it's a hair-free day, but it's still the working
day. Yeah. Oh, you're always working.
Yeah, but it's good. It's good.
No doubt. Okay, so we're going to be sure, and we're inviting you all in advance to have some comment, input, engagement, questions, et cetera. I'm not going to try to be provocative, but maybe there might be something that might provoke that engagement. We'll do that. So we just listened to a small portion of an interview with a person known as 19 Keys on Earn Your Leisure. Alhamdulillah, there is so much to say in that context. We always want to make sure that there's a takeaway that anybody with us is say, okay, well, take that with you, and it has a very important usage for you in this. So I don't know because there's so many places that I could start from, but what strikes you first?
Well, I took a lot of notes on this because the conversation that always comes up is, well, okay, well, what do I do? It's like the practical applications of business or the practical applications of investing. And there's a part of us that has to take a moment to identify what we have to offer to the marketplace. I think that this idea that everyone has to be a brick and mortar or vending business is the only way to expand and create wealth or create their currency.
Yeah, and that kind of adds to, you're going to go on, but I want to underscore that statement with what he talks about. One of his precepts is the idea of the wealth standard that we have been given versus the wealth standard that someone else has been given. Okay, so he's shifting from, we've been told that sports and entertainment is the main way to go, right? Whereas other ethnic groups have other wealth standards, other ways to go about getting
Absolutely.
It, right? And so now you're saying even those who have started to come into the entrepreneurial space with a sensitivity for that sometimes also have a limited idea about how to engage that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And I think that the first thing that everyone needs to do is to identify, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Seeking to be a millionaire. Are you looking to be multi-millionaire? Are you just trying to, I want to be able to create an income that allows me freedom. You don't have to be a millionaire to do that, right? Because, right now, I have freedom to choose how I spend my time, but I'm not a millionaire,
right?
And so sometimes people are chasing after this unseen target.
Mm-hmm.
So first we got to be clear, what do you want? Some people who have jobs are just like, I want my retirement fund to be X when I retire. Mm-hmm. And they move in that way to reach that particular goal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you start to think about having dreams or a vision for legacy, it's like, I want to build a masjid. Okay. Now, what does that require to do that? Or I want to be in a position to where, I'm making X amount per month. Like yesterday, I journaled out, like, you know, how much do what I want to make per month, and if I was making this much per month, then, you know, I'd really be good,
right
at that point, right? But to get to that goal that I set for myself, there are still some very specific steps and mindset that I have to get myself prepared for in generating that kind of income. And not only generating it, but keeping it.
Right.
Because, yeah, you can get it, but you can get it by just saying, okay, I'm going to work a couple of jobs and you're making that much per month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but is that all you want? You want the free, I want my money to work for me. So I think that first thing, that's why I'm such an advocate for the journaling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is write down what it is that you want. What would it look like in order to do that? If you are a business, whether it's consulting or selling products, how many products or how many clients would you need to serve in order to reach this monthly goal?
Yeah.
But right now, it's just like, I just want to pay my bills. Okay, then let's talk about that then.
Yeah, yeah.
And what you need to do for that is a very different level of energy than if you're talking about, I want to retire at the age of 30 or I want to retire at the age of 50 with this much money.
Yeah. So I want to add to always the idea of these concretes from Al-Islam. Like one of my notes that I took away from what he's saying is that there's a certain coherence to what he's saying, and so therefore that makes it more comprehensive. Now I have to put in a qualifying note, because my thing is always about educating people about things that you might miss in a piece. Take the good, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but don't swallow no fish bones at the same time. One of the things is that don't confuse comprehension with correctness. Don't confuse comprehension with correctness. Everything that's understandable is not necessarily the right thing. Okay, it makes all kind of sense. It follows logically, et cetera. But none of that relates to what we heard from the interviewer, 19 Keys. But for the record, as speaking of the record, because when someone goes to follow up and say, yeah, what is the one that they talked about on wealth creation? And then when you hear him saying man is God, and we start talking about that Yaqub's history type conversation, I want you to know that it's qualified in this way. So I need to read this disclaimer that we added to our blog talk blurb, starting with 7th chapter, 145th verse, where it says, I was a beloved, and we ordained laws for him. Speaking of Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, Moses, we ordained laws for him in the tablets in all manners, both commanding and explaining all things, and said, take and hold these with firmness and enjoin on your people to hold fast to the best in the precepts. Okay, so that's my Quranic statement, that whatever is excellent in the precept, hold on to that. Whatever is not excellent in the precepts, let it go, right? So I say, mashallah.
And that's with everything.
And that's with everything. That's Quran. That's what it's talking about.
Yeah.
So in this specifically, mashallah, unfortunately, the background of 19 Keys appears to be rooted in the teaching of the Nation of Islam. And he does subscribe to the man is God doctrine that it includes. So we have to separate ourselves from that subscription. However, leaving the detail of that controversy for another time, we know that there was and is truth in many of the abstractions couched in those teachings, and it is that we are using as a sounding board for this broadcast only. Okay, so it's not a full endorsement of everything that he's about and what have you. Those of you who have either seen or will go and see, you'll see that he has part of his brand is the makeup of what appears to be like that fez of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad with the crescent moon star, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, so that's a clear homage, whatever, to his upbringing. Apparently, he was brought up in a family that was tied to the Nation of Islam. He's quote unquote, a young man, I believe younger than both you and I in that sense. And he started on his journey at 19 years old. So So he's obviously of the later dispensation in that regard. Now, having said all that, I need to say this. The coherence of his, you know, I used to have your there it is. You know that you have you do you have one of these? You have one of these?
I do. I have plenty.
You got one of these? Oh yeah, I got one too. Well, you up on it if you got that, right? go ahead and tell the people, don't get carried away. I'm gonna come back with something, but tell the people what I'm showing you right here.
Control your narrative. That's our tagline for my company, Love is Always the Subject.
Uh-huh.
And the whole idea of when you write in your journal is controlling your story and not adopting someone else's narrative and how you move.
So
controlling your narrative and everything it is that we do, like I took so many different notes just from what we had listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about the comprehension that, you know, we can, I think the thing that stuck out to me in my notes of what I had wrote down is that we have to get to this place where we trust this vessel, the heart,
mm-hmm.
right? That there is a uniqueness that especially couture Quran for us,
mm-hmm.
right? There's an understanding that I have because of the experience in my life that I have had, that when I try to clothe it with someone else's idea of their experience with the Quran, it may not do the same thing for me,
right.
because I'm wearing their outfit
right.
of based on their experience.
Right.
So the importance of really understanding it for oneself and trusting this vessel that where it's made clear, if it troubles your heart, leave it alone. Like, okay, like this troubles my heart. But through what filter are you using? Are you using a Quranic filter or are you using someone else's filter? Because then you're wearing someone else's skin.
Yeah.
Let me add this. We want to bear our own skin in that.
Yes, yeah. And in terms of that narrative, so there's a coherence to his narrative. There's a language, even like when we, meaning speaking of myself, as the Nation of Islam, the point is that the script was clear. You could follow the script, stay with the script. And so there's the coherence. And what I'm saying, even as he explained, he said the theme of do for self was always a part of the family, but the how to was what was missing. And so that's when he said he's going there. And I have to admit that for as far as those of us who made the transition and had to deal with the transformation and the transition and the change of language and et cetera, it's like, some did lose the line as, okay, well, what's the narrative now? You could put it like that. Well, what's the narrative now? And for some, it would say, we need to get back to the old narrative, and mainly because that's what I understood. That's what I understand.
Right.
And so, therefore, not being able to make the transition, particularly the language transition, is where, and some people, you know, just fell through the cracks for as far as that's concerned. But in terms of what al-Islam actually brings as a way to do what's being said, what he has done with what he has grasped is what more of those who are identified in our association actually need to do with what has been done, with what has been given to us. And I'm going to say this one thing and invite you back in, that language, logic, and sensitivity, right? Even when he said, well, standards, he said, you know, standards, you know, what kind of, in fact, the first question that Rashad asked him was, when he used the term well standards, you know, he said, you know, basically he said, Rashad, he said, I felt it, I got it, but I really didn't understand it. So that's where I want to start. He, in the interview, said he wanted to start with that. And what he went on,
right.
what he went on to explain was that we stand it. When you do have standards, then you have a set of expectations to hold somebody to. if you don't have any standards, then you don't have any boundaries or ways to do that. And that effectively, that literally is a statement about language. And we already have the idea of language, logic, sensitivity. So, but he has done that in terms of the fullness and the maturity of his ideas is because, as we are on the website, putting down the idea of the problem, intuition, idea, ideology, institution, and culture. When he can speak as fluently as he does, following the logic of his idea, he's demonstrating that he's gone far down that path with regard to his particular narrative, I'll put it that way, because he has an ideology. He has an ideology. He has the logic of his idea, and he has formed them into things to do, and that's where the success is. I say for us at large, I say us Muslims in association and Bilalian Muslims in particular, there are some that do have it right. But in the broader base of institutionalizing our quote-unquote ideology, particularly in the language of Imam Wazir Muhammad, there's still a lot of work to be done in that regard.
Yeah, and I think that there's an importance of establishing system.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have not established systems. You know, I think that there's an evolution. I don't want to say renaissance, because that part is coming, I believe, for our community. But there is a transition happening. We need, as a community, move out of the old ways in which we've done business. So when you look at the language that we use, the do for self, like, I grew up in the do for self
mm-hmm.
era, which made it like the ideal of having a job. It never clicked with me. Like, I got a job for survival purposes, mm-hmm. but I knew that I had to have a business. So I have done all kinds of things, because I didn't understand the practical application of really a business has to consist of the spirit of your creation, of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not what's driving that business, the business will only do what you're asking it to do. It's mm-hmm. only going to go to the PG&E. It's only going to go to the rent. It's only going to go to, you know, the car note. That's all it's going to do, because you're creating this business to make money, right?
Right.
When you're creating a business to solve a problem
mm-hmm.
or creating a business for the betterment of humanity mm-hmm. or creating this business in service to Allah who gave you the gift and you're giving it back,
mm-hmm.
then that's where the wealth happens. We touched on that before, but I wanted to come back to just in listening to this conversation, I want to give everyone some real concrete, applicable you know, tools, because I think that that's one thing that we miss out in so many ways. Like, as Black people, as Indigenous people, as Bilalians, we have this tendency to get so emotionally caught up in the fireworks of a thing, like, ooh, you know, the way somebody spit their verse, said, you ooh, he got bars,
mm-hmm.
that, and then we get this emotional bubble up,
mm-hmm.
and then when it's over, we have no tools as mm-hmm. to what to do with all of this, you know, but we keep paying a ticket for the concert
mm-hmm.
to hear that part of it, and then we still leave empty because there was no real spiritual connection to what information is being shared. The spirit and rituals connected to create this business that has a life of its own. And so I want to, the one thing that he mentioned was about diversifying the skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, that's bars, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, well, okay, well, tell me what that is. And mm-hmm. I didn't get that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this diversifying skill set is each of us is a business. So, you know, when you wake up, you're a business. The moment you came, Earthside, you're a business. The child is a business because they want their bottle. So
mm-hmm.
they cash in with a cry, mm-hmm. or they smile real cute, or they, you know, so this is the currency between the baby and whomever else. So there's something happening there that they know the business. If I do this, I get that.
Right.
If I do this, I get that. I love you, Daddy. I love you, Mommy. You know, mm-hmm. I get this. So this is the business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because become good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So your existence, you don't have to have a brick and mortar or whatever else. Sit down and write out a job description to be you.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean everything.
Mm-hmm.
The whatever that job description is consists of, I mean, down to your daily activity, there's something in there that you're going to find that you are masterful at. Like, you know, and don't think that there's not currency in it. There's currency in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's currency in how to organize a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
There's currency in, you know, taking notes and transcribing. There's currency in thought. Inspired
mm-hmm.
thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's currency in how to help your children create a schedule and get them off to school and plan out the week. So you need to create a job description of everything it is that you do. Find that thing, because you're already doing it for free. So but find that thing, and it's like, who needs to understand how to do X?
Mm-hmm.
Then you are at the very base level of planting the seed of a possible business.
Yeah.
And we haven't really seen that there's a business available, because we're in the era of knowledge right now.
Mm-hmm.
The people who have the most know-how are cashing in.
Yeah.
But you haven't decided on what it is that you know. Go ahead.
All right. So in terms of that market, you're actually in doing that. You're actually defining your market, you know. Who is it that needs what I supply, right? So, and as you said, just reinforcing what you said, the idea is you have to identify, analogically speaking, the business that you are. I am a business that can dispense this, that, or the other. It doesn't matter. If it happens to be sports, good for you. If it happens to be entertainment and art, you know, and whatever it is, it's a skill set. If it's a skill set, if it solves a problem, if it solves a problem, then there's a market for it. And so in terms of that, I want to just join you in reinforcing the idea that self-discovery. And then when you say, you know, you identify as a job description, but it's like if your excellence were a business, what would it be, you know? The way I understand branding is that the brand is the way you do business. That's your brand. So in terms of what you bring to the market, how you satisfy the needs of those people who need what you bring, that is also
right.
describing that. The Islamic perspective for that too is that where Allah says, he says, whenever he intends a thing, he simply says to it, be, and it is. And one of the translations of it is, whenever he plans a thing, he simply says, be to it, and it is, right? So I always use that to say, well, if Allah has the plan, because effectively he said he has a plan, then he says to the plan, be, and it is. So how can we get anywhere without a plan, right? We have to have a plan.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Have a plan.
Along with that, in terms of this, ultimately, that's going to ultimately come out how you get from, how you quote-unquote get from nothing to something, and nothing is in big air quotes, is that when you take it off your heart, off your mind, put it on the page, it is becoming tangible at that very moment. That is, it is beginning to take form in three-dimensional space. As soon as you take it off your heart, take it off your mind, put it on paper, that paper is the plan. That paper is the virtual reality of what it is you're talking about. Now, given that you lay that out in the proper way and carry out the plan just like a recipe and carry out the plan, then in time it's going to take on those other dimensions, right? Versus totally abstract, just a good feeling, you know, a good idea. Now you got it as a plan. Now when you put your action behind the plan, then the plan, like, you know, massages it, if you will, metaphysically speaking. And then before, you know, quote unquote, before you know it, it's like, oh, there it is. What is that? the thing that you had in your heart, that you had on your mind, that you wrote down as a plan, and that you followed that plan, and soon will what he strives for come into sight, right? So all of this is what we have to do. Let's invite those of you who are on Blog Talk. You can join the conversation. Push one on your phone and come on through. Those of you who are on the Facebook and YouTube side of it, you can chime in with a quote, a comment, with a comment or question, et cetera. We want to hear from you, so it doesn't have to be just us. We don't want it to be just us. That's not our preferred way. We'd like to get you into the conversation. So Blog Talk, push one on your phone, come on through. I think this is my brother, Taysir. Am I correct?
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. How you doing, Taysir?
Alhamdulillah. I was listening to the program, and I really, truly agree with that planning. I remember when I was working, and I planned out, you know, from moving from job to job. I planned out one job. I say I would be gone in 5 years. I wrote it down. What I wanted to do, 5 years I was gone. Moved on to the other job, which was, I guess, Chevron. I went to Chevron. I stayed 35 years there. But in the meantime,
wow.
I knew that would come to an end quickly. But all this time, I'm planning. I was really planning. And people don't realize how quickly that time passes. Here I am. 6 or 7 years retired, but the plans worked out beautiful for me, you know, because, like I say, I started planning a long time, you know, when I had that job. I knew I wanted to be free from, you know, that. And when I retired, I knew what I wanted to be doing. So the planning is, if you don't plan, you know, you're not going anywhere or be successful in life.
Alhamdulillah. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. I want to interject the generational gap of how, you know, my parent generation and the current generation, like even with, you know, Hanifa, and then like I'm right in between that, right? Hanifa, Muhammad, I'm talking about my siblings. Hanifa and Muhammad, right? That this what was established during our parent generation for how to prepare for retirement, get the job, that does not exist anymore. That idea it existed even when I started working, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now the way that the economy has been shifting, you have to learn a new way.
Yeah.
Like Bitcoin within itself is a new way. You know, that if those stocks are still there right now, that is even different than what it was before now, right? And when we don't make the time to invest to understand a thing, the money flows to those who know. So if you are not passionate about stocks, that still doesn't mean you're not supposed to learn it. You know, like I'm not moved by stocks, right? So I know I have to hire a person. I need to have an understanding so I don't get you know, jacked for somebody that's handling my money. But at the same point, like some people sit and they can just read about it and look it up, and they are just like geek. I don't get geek.
Everybody has their own particular emphasis. So that's there. We got a couple more people online. We want to get them in, and we want to make sure we leave space for all. All right, Zarina, assalamu alaikum. 215, I see you. You coming up next?
Well, alaikum assalam, alhamdulillah, to both of you and to the audience. I just, you know, just wanted to chime in on the fact that, you know, I came through the Nation of Islam, and Do For Self has stuck with me from that point. And, you know, it's what I've learned over the years is that if that's what you want, that's what you'll get. If you have the mindset of having a business, you will have a business, because that's your mindset. It's not, you're not able to to get into, you know, you might work for somebody, but like the brother was saying, you know, you're always thinking of where am I going? Then, you know, just the fact that, you know, if we fail the plan, we plan to fail. And so we have to have a plan. And one of the things I'm learning from myself is that if what you want, you have to continue to see that, and you have to continue to have that vision. And you can't look at your current circumstances. You have to know that, you know, if Allah has put it in your heart for you to do something, then He knows you can do it. You know, he says he doesn't, you know, give us no burden that we can't handle. So if he gives us an idea, we can handle it. We just have to believe in ourselves and move forward. So that's what I wanted to share and contribute.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
All right. All right. 215, what's your name? Where are you calling from? This is
Dante, brother, man.
Dante, I got you, man. I got you on lock, bro. Okay, good.
Assalamu alaikum, brother, man.
Alaykum assalam. How you doing, man?
Wonderful. I am absolutely loving the conversations between you and your daughter, man. It's phenomenal. She's the apple has not fallen far off the tree. You guys are just delightful.
I love it. Well, like, thank you so much.
Definitely insightful. But a few points I wanted to make was that I caught a tail end of the conversation with 19 Keys, but talking about family, and I really liked what he said, the things that you guys talk about in terms of family, because in my family, me and my wife, we've had several businesses together that were, you know, that we just tried, and some were successful and some were unsuccessful. But having the conversations with our son, like we talk about Bitcoin, real estate, we're getting him into coding, and you know, just like Camila said, having different, like knowing that and that having a job in the future is probably not going to be the thing that you can retire on, and so establishing that as a way for him to think now, so that he will think, you know, entrepreneurial, or just, you know, think in a way that he's not like me. I worked the job for 30 years and then retire, so that may not be there for him. But with having Bitcoin, you know, hoping that becomes the legacy that we leave behind for him and our other children, that's what we hope to do. And the continual conversations, listening to you is such it's just such a blessing to be able to know that there are people that care enough about our community to keep doing what you do. And now even bring your daughter in and seeing, you know, that you've shown her and like doing it for the family, you know, and keeping it in the family, and that the family can be successful together. And I really appreciate it. And that's all I really have to say.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. May Allah continue to bless us. Alhamdulillah. One of the things you said, wisdom is justified by her children. So alhamdulillah, they do all make me proud. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for proud in the best possible way. Speaking about Bitcoin and Fahmi, I see you, and I'm gonna hit you next. I wanna make this comment. Since you know, in terms of, you know, Bitcoin has been, you know, down under the 30s. It popped up over 42 over the weekend. Now it's, you know, creeping back towards 40, bouncing around 39,000. All of those numbers are K's, thousands, right? And I just thought about how, you know, anyone who happens to have, I'm just thinking in terms of one Bitcoin. The numbers are all different for everybody, of course, according to what you possess, right? Where you got people like MicroStrategy and Elon Musk who haven't sold any of his Bitcoin. they're making hundreds of millions and billions, even in the vacillation that's going on. But I'm saying, when you talk about income, That is one asset where within a month, according, of course, to, but I'll just deal with just the one Bitcoin scenario, right? It's like then that means, yeah, the vacillation or the volatility is such that, yeah, it can go down. It can go down 5 or 10,000, but it also can go up 5 or 10,000. Whereas if a person can be looking at their, quote unquote, their assets, and that being one of them, it's like, I mean, what else can you or do you do, which within the span of a week or two, it can be a $20,000 swing, right? So I'm just saying, it's really, really, it's that the new world that you were talking about, Camila. It is a different world. It is a different financial world, and there's still more to come. Let's get from Fahmi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ismail, what's going on?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Doing fine. I just wanted to follow up with the first brother. He was talking about the importance of planning. And we had an IT event this past, you know, couple of weeks, and we hadn't got together in a while, so we kind of wanted to make it, you know, a bigger event than normal, since this will be the first time we kind of could get together. So we had the planning part down, had the budget and everything. And I think one important thing after planning, when you had that down, is that you need to do a post-event meeting about what went on. And that helped us out a lot because, you know, we talked to attendants and we talked to each other on the board about, okay, we had this amount, but we went over, so what are we going to do next time? Because we plan on doing big things, and if we may have went over 500 this time on something bigger, it could be 5,000 or 15,000.
Yeah.
So I just want to talk about the importance of, after you do something or after your first, you know, you accomplish something, go back and look at it and critique it. And I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Are we talking about an investment group?
Oh, he's just saying that in principle, the idea is that, yeah, plan, that's the before. Execute. I thought he was going to talk about execution, but okay, let's say you execute, but then when you execute, then it's sort of like, I don't like the term, but the autopsy, you know what I'm saying? Sort of like, okay, it's over, and how did this and why did this turn out this way or that way? So it's the follow-up, you know, it's the feedback from the execution so that you can use that information to build a better plan, right? So the plan also has to evolve, you know, to scale and what have you. So that's what I hear.
So if I can interject that.
Yeah, go right ahead. Thank you, ma'am.
Strategy and consistency.
Mm-hmm.
So this idea of, like, you know, even if you have an investment group collective, the best way I can explain it, like, when I think about myself, there was a group of five of us 2 years ago. We were starting our business. We met up with each other at the Houston convention, and we were like, okay, let's support each other for one whole year as we build out our business. And it was just a safe space to work out the anxieties of business, a safe space to share, okay, look, this is my strategy. What's your feedback? You know, hey, I'm working on my logo. Put some eyes on this. This collective that we created, and we said we were going to be consistent with this for an entire year, right? We still are in a chat group with each other, but the first year we had a heavy strategy about how we were going to share each other's stuff on social media. It, you know, what sales are we getting ready for? What part of the season? We gassed each other up on what are you doing different? Have you taken this class? And this is what we did for a whole year. And our businesses expanded faster because we were using each other as a support system. It's important to find either friends, family members, community folks, people who are of like mind on a particular mission. You trying to do it by yourself, you know, you're not going to get that far. You just not. You know, you might, you'll make some steps, but if you're trying to catapult this thing forward, you need to have collective minds, because now you have a whole library of knowledge and understanding with these people within the group. Mm-hmm. So figure out the strategy and be consistent with that strategy.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be times where you're not making no sales, or the stock is going to drop, or this is going to happen. This is a normal part of it. That doesn't mean throw it out, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's like when you hold the magnifying glass on the ground with the sun beaming, you don't move it all over the place. You keep it still, and you hold it there the
mm-hmm.
entire time. If you don't have a match, I mean, you
yeah.
know what I'm saying? This is all you have.
Yeah.
And so that's the same thing about when you're working with this collective of building a business or anything, when you're building any level of wealth.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, to amplify that as we start to close out, we're kind of over the time that I'm trying to generally aim at. We're not going to lock in hard and fast on it. But that what you're talking about is in Al-Islam, and the way that Al-Islam, the language for it is shura. Most people, when they think about shura, they think about it as, you know, whatever, like legal problem solving or community problem solving,
right.
or, you know, whatever. They limit the perspectives. And see, that's what goes to language logic sensitivity. One more lesson on that tonight. Language, okay, what's language? Shura. Logic. Logic means what's the behavioral expectation? That is the answer to what does it mean. The answer to what does it mean is what am I supposed to do because of that language. Okay, so shura is language. The logic is, the role of it is to discover the truth of whatever it is that is not known when the group gets together for the purpose of, okay, what's the answer? That's what shura is. It's, so that shura now in contemporary language in cognitive science is called distributed cognition. Distributed cognition. Long before computers were networked, because the Google's AI and all the other and the, all these networks of computers that companies and global operations use, those are computer networks. But we are also greater, no doubt, than computers. But are we networked? That's a critical thing. When we network on a particular issue, that's where our power comes from. And this is what Allah says in the Quran, warabitu, and tie together. So if we can just get outside of the boundaries of thinking about the language in the religion only in worship and ritual terms, and translate those terms into science, industry, technology, because it's the same thing, but now applied to science, industry, and technology, then you get what the world has to offer by using that. So we do have to spend more time dialoguing, interacting with each other, because that's what amplifies and leverages what it is that we know. We're going to start winding down here. We're coming. You?
Oh, me.
Yeah, you. Yeah, let me holler. Let me holler my brother. Hector, brother Hector, I see you, Hector, from the 26B in Oakland, alhamdulillah, sharing this on the East Coast, alhamdulillah, wonderful, my dear brother, alhamdulillah, thank you. All right, go ahead, Master. Anybody on Blog Talk, push one, come on in. If you've already had comments and you didn't push one when you went out, then do that, because some of the board is still lit up, and I don't want to, in oversight, miss you if you actually do have a comment. Go ahead.
I think besides that other part of what I had mentioned earlier about the job description, because like I'm on the professional development part of it, that's the best term I could come up with,
mm-hmm.
is that we have to evolve with the current, you know, what's happening currently,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the economic space.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So you get left behind when you don't allow yourself to do the study, right?
Yeah.
And you have to know what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's widening your learning curve, it's like, okay, well, I don't know anything about social media. Okay, well, then you need to find someone that does. If your audience is there, your audience may not be there. Just leave that alone. But your audience is online.
Yeah.
Because of the time that we're living in,
yeah.
he mentioned how so many businesses have had to pivot as a result of this pandemic, right? And so this is the same thing about with your business, being able to understand what that is going to mean and what that's going to look like. And if you don't understand what those plugins or different platforms or ways to expand your learning curve, then you have to decide on how you're going to invest in self to know what it is. If you don't have a budget, it needs to be a budget line like anything else. It's like you pay for your cell phone. You know, it's like, okay, well, all I have to budget is $100 a month on professional development, on education. That could be Audible. It could be an ACU Institute membership.
There you go.
It could be, you know, it can be, you know, coaching. It could be online classes through Udemy, whatever it is. You want to make sure you keep your mind fresh on all of the things that's happening, because what happens in the midst of that is that you're trying to watch a movie on a VCR and everybody else is streaming, you're like, you're lost in the mix. And so this is what's really, really important about us really carving out the time and understanding of what that means. So business practices, spiritual practices, and, you know, those economic practices, and understanding that, yes, Islam is a full way of life, but yet, it's important that it's not just words that you're knowing by rote.
Right.
Really understanding how the practical application for what that is for your life.
Exactly. So amplifying again what you're saying, I want to keep putting my finger also on the Quran aspect of it, and that is where what you're saying is supported and stated in Quranic language, in that blessed is he that causes it to grow is the translation, 91 is the usual translation, 91, 7 through 10, that whole section of verses. But it says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَاهَا. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَاهَا. أَفْلَحَ means successful. It means حَيَّ عَلَى السَّلَاحِ حَيَّ عَلَى الْفَلَاحِ, successful. قَدْ, surely, he is successful. مَنْ زَكَاهَا, whoever spins on it. We say cause it to grow. So that means if you got to buy Audible, if you got to get a subscription to ACU, if you got to, you know, buy a book, or you got to join a particular group XYZ, that's their market. And the point is, you don't focus on the price, you focus on the value. Is it something that solves a problem for you? And do you know how to translate that benefit into your marketplace, right? So that is a habit, language, logic, sensitivity, called Avlaham and Zakah. That's the language. What am I supposed to do? Invest in yourself, right? Well, what about myself should I invest in? Invest in improving that which is an innate part of your excellence. What are you already good at? And once that goodness, that's in the BLISS. I'm trying to open up something else. BLISS, believe, locate, institutionalize, specialize, right? If you believe you have a potential, locate that potential, institutionalize it, meaning find the discipline for it. Somebody on YouTube, Udemy, and everything else that you're talking about, somebody's just waiting to teach you the mastery of whatever that thing is. You are not the first one to ever do that, right? Somebody's already where you want to be, right? And they will show you how to get there for a price, alhamdulillah. That's what you do. BLISS, believe, locate, institutionalize, find the discipline for it, and then specialize it. Specialize. You got to decide to be that thing that nobody can be better than you, because you are born with it. You are gifted with it. Everybody got something. God is not cheap. He gave everybody a gift.
Right.
You just got to unwrap it, man. So, and then once you do that, then the last you have my permission. Go ahead.
But let me say this too, because the timer on my side, it says 51 minutes, so I'll be going through the idea that we got 60 minutes here.
Yeah.
But neither here nor there, I don't want to waste my minute.
Go ahead.
A very good, something that Zarina said that stuck out in my mind, because I believe this and live by this, that if you have the vision for it, the idea for it, and all you have to ask is this good for me? Is this for my highest good? Is this from Allah? Is this going to be good for humanity? If the answer is yes, then that idea was a gift from Allah, already saying it's yours.
Right.
It just has not been seen yet, but you see it. And that's what you have to keep moving in the direction of. So if you have the idea and the thought, if I say to myself, I want to feed 100 homeless people, Allah is already saying it's done because that is a good thing. So now I'm doing all of the moves necessary to reach this vision
that
I have in my mind. Same thing with your business, your financial goal, and all of the things that you want to get.
Right.
A second thing, how we approach the Quran, I'm using the term couture, but, you know, the Quran, as unique as our fingerprint, there's the greatest hits for you.
Customization.
What's that?
Customization. Go ahead.
It's unique to you. There's something in there that every time you hear it, it moves you.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, like, it is something that's always, that you always remember, like, this is that thing. Then what you need to do is when that pops up for you, you drill down on that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're looking for, that Allah is... All the ideas you get is from Allah. Like me picking up this pen, I'm not picking up this pen. Allah said, pick up the pen, they'll get it. You know, like, you do it. So when you drill down on that thing, if I say, like, the thing for me is, you know, a shaitan threatens you with poverty, like, that moves me. Like, that puts a heat underneath my feet. So now I'm like, I want to understand this nature of poverty. I want to understand this threat. I want to know what this is. And in me doing that, all of the other things of what it is that I need to understand for the work that I do, for the life that I live, Allah is saying, look, this blue food, look this way. Look this way. I'm moved by the story of Miriam. Why does that move me so much? Because Allah is saying, I want you to look in this direction. Keep looking there. Drill down on that. Understand that.
Right.
And so we have to see what is it in there that's moving you, because that's where you will find your Quran and your best practices.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
And let us pray. The Ikama has been given, so let's pray. Alhamdulillah. I think we are going to have to submit to the whole process, and we are going to have to go ahead and lock in this hour after whatever it is that we broadcast. We just can't shut it down. It's too much to be said, and to be outlined. It's not just about the time; it's about the contribution that we want to make to everybody who's here with us. So, in that regard, you know, we'll go ahead and take in the additional. What I have 12 minutes, and we'll just cut out at the top of the hour here. Yeah, we'll do that. So let me contribute now. Blog Talk, and also on Facebook, on the chats, anybody can chime in. Now, I don't know. There's some things that I thought about Elijah that would kind of take us a little bit too far. Because you know, the baby bathwater thing, I was thinking in terms of what 19 Keys was saying. Let me reinforce something and how it further supports why we're tracking the way that we're tracking the ACU Institute page with the PIIIIC. And inshallah, we'll be throwing up the intuition side of, because a lot of what we're saying, even at this point, has bearing on the issue of intuition. When you talk about your impulse and your urge and your desire to do something, and you're being moved by something in a way that other things don't move you, all that is talking about this thing that can be labeled. Intuition is just a label for an experience, right, and for a property. But it is a critical first point. Even when I talked about distributed cognition, when I talked about distributed cognition, or rather, this is what the social science says about it. As I said, Shura is also a part of it, and God has already told us where God said, "Watawaso bil haq, watawaso bil sab," in Surah Al Asr, Wal Asr, or Surah Al Asr. Watawaso bil haq, watawaso bil sab. It's saying mutually influence each other. You know, even in Surah Al-Nas, at the last chapter, yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. Yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. This waswas inside of that's whispering. Watawaso, there's a sound. There's an important consonant, meaning sounding. Like situations like I influence you, you influence me. But we're supposed that's human beings influence each other anyway. But Allah tells us how we're supposed to influence each other and through what are we supposed to influence each other. Watawaso bilhaq, supposed to influence each other with the truth, with the haq, the reality of it. And watawaso bilsabr, meaning that there may be a situation, and no doubt there's always a situation where we have to, quote-unquote, be patient with each other, right? If my development hasn't arrived at a level that it needs to arrive at in order for me to be able to do something with you, then it may cause for you to be patient with me as I evolve and come to the place where I need to be, and vice versa. So when we cooperate with each other with that in mind and don't, you know, take our ball and go home every time we're dissatisfied with something that happens between us, then we'll never get anything done if that's the way. So when it says watawaso bilhaq, watawaso bilsabr, that's behavior. So that's language, watawaso bilhaq, watawaso bilsabr. That's language. Okay, where's the logic? Meaning, what's the behavioral expectation that goes with the language? Oh, okay, it means that I'm supposed to seek to influence them with truth. I'm to be open to be influenced by them. With truth also. That's another thing. The idea of if I'm going to influence you, then that means that you have to allow me in some way to impress you. It's like, but if everything I do, you say, I'm not impressed. It's like, I'm not impressed. So we show no appreciation. We don't show that we're impressed by the manifestation of whatever measure of the gift that someone shows forward. We want to applaud them because we want them to keep coming forward with that gift, right? So by showing, oh, I'm impressed with what you're doing, that's a nurturing act on their part, right? And so the sensitivity is saying that should be your disposition. That's the sensitivity side of it is that's that third step. First step, hear the language. Second step, know the behavior that flows from the language. And then the third step, sensitivity, walk around with that attitude. That's really what it means. That's your spirit. That's your disposition. That's your demeanor. That's what you're sensitive to. Just like you're saying that you hear a verse, you see a verse, you read a verse, and it touches you in a way that other verses don't touch you. Okay, in the same way, our sensitivity for certain things should be always present if we're on this project, right? So if I'm on the Ummah project, then I'm always sensitive and therefore looking out for what's good for it, and sensitive and looking out for what's bad for it, right? That's now my body. My body is from the language and the logic that flows, that has come into me and that I have embraced and I believe and that I subscribe to. So that's a very important way of being that we have to adopt. All right, so we got maybe about 5 more minutes or so. Any comments on your part? And
I'm going to take this time to mention the ACU Institute.
Okay.
That we have the Future Roots Leadership classes. New classes will be loaded up every month. This month we will be adding the components for the Maryam Institute, the Muslim American Research Institute advocating marriage. You're an all-access member. You'll have access to those modules that will be loaded up this month. Inshallah, by Friday, this coming Friday, we have some modules that will be loaded up. If you're only for Maryam, then you'll have access to just the Maryam stuff. If you have access to Future Roots, you'll only have access to to Future Roots. And so for with the All Access, you get access to both, both of those memberships. We're looking at, because we are a team of myself and my assistant, some things may take a little longer to get them updated on there, but we have carved out a time and a strategy to ensure that we don't fall behind in any way. So I'm confident that we'll be on it, on top of it with this platform. But Allah knows best, but I'm not using that as an escape term. I'm saying.
You're not putting the inshallah move on it, huh?
Like, be clear about what's happening, because we want to honor the space. We want to honor this educational space. I'm confident and trust that what it is that the ACU Institute is providing for the community is not like anything else that is being provided. So I know this is, and I have to say this, and I'm saying this with love and warmth, like, you know, like as a parent saying to their child, don't run in the street, right? I can recognize that there is a learning gap in the technology, and we have got to up our game on how to engage the digital space, because everything is different, and we have to understand how we as a community will get left behind if we don't raise our learning curve about how to engage technology. And I don't want us to be left behind, because just as you know, I don't consider myself a youth. I'm 48, proudly 48, but I know that I always have to, like, I stay tapped in with my son about, okay, what's the latest on this? I'll go to YouTube if I don't understand something on social media. I sit down to close the gap of not knowing in order to do that. And we can't make the ACU Institute any simpler than it is.
Yeah.
It is a severe reason. It's just a matter of look for the word, tap it, it's open.
Okay. Bye.
That's it.
That's how it works. Yeah,
so I want us to really be able to engage and really experience the richness of it, and what it is that we hope to provide.
We're going to get to the point where we're bringing guests on too as well, and that's going to be soon. I mean, you and I, you know, we have to huddle a little bit more, but we can talk this much of it out in the public. Sure. But I have a statement and an example. One of the statements is that the definition of the technology gap, the definition of it is the technology that's available, technology that's in use. Okay? How much technology is available? Now, the individual steps up and you look and you ask, how much of the available technology am I actually using, right? To the distance between what you're actually using, what's actually available, that's the gap. So if there's a lot of stuff out there that you're not using, well, that's the technology gap. Closing that gap means gaining competencies in those, in your particular domain, that's critical. That's it. I would say, for example, of course, you're my daughter, of course, Kiama, right? I just got on a business thing with Kiama, right? This is a young lady who was one of the students in jail. Okay, I knew her obviously before she was born. What I'm saying, I've known her all her life, but I just subscribed to something that she's in business on, that there's a technology gap for me. I know something about it, but there's something I don't know about it. And so now there she is. She's already there, leading, making it happen, doing it. And it's like, okay, well, here I come now. It's time to shoes on the other foot, right? And as you say, you check in with your son. Now we check out. So these generations that have come up behind us and are making progress in a world that they don't know about, rotary dial phones or telephone booths or anything like that, right? So it's like, but they're in touch with this current technology, and you're able to leverage that and get the benefit from that. So that is the advice. Baby boomers, come on. Baby boomers, you got to step out. You got to come out of the shadows. You got to, you know, grab hold of something. Give it a try. Give it a shot. Humble yourself. Learn. And as she's saying, you have to, flatten that learning curve so that, you know, everything doesn't feel like it's such a big mountain to climb. Plus, when you have those young people that are close enough and patient enough with you to be able to walk you and talk you through it, oh, well, that's payback for, that's a return on your investment. All right, we got to be out. Last word.
Sister Amatala asked a question about what is ACU Institute. It's a learning platform for a clear understanding with all of the classes and access to the archives of Imam Fahim Shuaib. Please put, I sent you my website in the on your side, Dad.
Okay.
Put that in the comments down there and also put the website for the ACU Institute.
What am I missing? I'm missing it some kind of way.
In the private chat, look in the chat window.
Look in the chat window. See, this is live learning right here. So
it's all good.
Okay, when I see it, the only ones I see her question. I don't see your response.
At the top there's one that says private chat and one that says comment. Right above the comment.
Oh yeah. Okay, but see y'all, this is live learning. Okay.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Here we go. All right.
And
so let's
get
back.
Also type in ACU Institute. I provided my website because I do business strategy coaching and regular life coaching as well.
Okay.
So I'm available for those things like more detailed stuff, strategy based on the conversations that we're having here. Because 1 hour in here is still a conversation, but you may have a very specific thing you want to execute, and I'm here to do that. And
so
then
aclearunderstanding.org?
No, we're dot institute.
Oh, dot institute.
Aclearunderstanding.institute.
Okay. All right, that's what I put in there.
Yeah.
Let's see what shows
up.
And that'll get you there. All right. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, as always. All right, everybody. Have a great day, and inshallah, till the next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.